Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. The FDA kicked off 2022 by approving Pfizer's COVID booster shots for children as young as 12. Can boosted teens play a big role in slowing down the rapid spread?
2022 also starts with some relief from medical bills. There should be much fewer surprises the next time you have to check into a hospital or pay a visit to the ER.
And if you're looking for a better year, just don't pay attention to what you're spending for things like gas, food, and clothes. Inflation is still with us.
We start with COVID vaccine booster shots for younger teenagers. Dr. David Kimberlin, professor of pediatrics and co-director of the Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Dr. Kimberlin, we've been told throughout this pandemic that kids simply aren't getting as sick from COVID. So why do kids as young as 12 need boosters?
Well, there certainly has been that thread of information across these last couple of years. But as we all have experienced, as we learn new things, some of the old understanding fades away. And I think over the course of the 2 years, as we've seen 800 or so children actually die of COVID, it is now the eighth leading cause of death in children in this country. I think it kind of puts aside some of those earlier myths of it not being a big deal for children. It certainly can be. Now, that said, it's a much bigger deal in older adults. I don't mean to be drawing a parallel there, but this is a big deal in children. And having another way to try to decrease the amount of the virus around us not only helps the individual child, that's what these booster authorizations for now 12 through 15-year-olds do, so we can boost 12 and over. Not only is it better for the individual, but it's better for society.
Is some of this also geared toward hopefully keeping the schools open as much as possible? Because I don't think anybody wants to go back to the days where everybody's learning from home.
You're definitely right about that. You know, that we learned the hard way of the deprivation of not being in school and what the downsides of that are. And no one is seeking to go back there. There's no doubt about it. I hope so. I do think we have to have in this country a more thorough consideration and conversation about what we expect of these vaccines and boosters. If we expect the vaccine and boosters to take care of every runny nose caused by this virus, I think we're likely to fail at that. I don't think we can ask any vaccine to be able to achieve something that remarkable. On the other hand, if we are asking these vaccines to keep us from having severe disease, from being hospitalized, and from dying, then that they're already doing very well. And we know that having that booster dose will have that kind of positive benefit, even against Omicron, which has shifted a little bit in terms of its ability to evade the immune system. So if we're thinking of keeping children in school, not only is it about the child, but it's about the adults in that school as well, that are the teachers and the janitors and the workers in the cafeteria and so forth. And it's by keeping everyone from getting those severe disease outcomes and sequelae that hopefully this can have that kind of benefit.
Dr. David Kimberlin, professor of pediatrics at University of Alabama, Birmingham.
A new federal law goes into effect. It aims to stop surprise medical bills that people get at the hospital.
And you might be familiar with these. You go to the hospital or the ER, you get care from an out-of-network doctor or other health professional without knowing that they're out-of-network, and then you get hits with the big bill because your insurance won't pay for it.
So with us to discuss the changes that should save a hospitalized person thousands of dollars is Patricia Kelmar, Healthcare Campaigns Director at USPIRG. So how will this law work and how strong will it be?
So we probably all have experienced this or know somebody who has. In fact, one in five people who've either gone to an emergency room or had surgery has received a surprise medical bill. And those are those pesky bills that come in the month after your treatment that you find out that an out-of-network doctor that you didn't choose is sending a bill for what your insurance hasn't covered. So those are known as out-of-network bills, and they're surprising to us because we didn't actually choose that kind of out-of-network care, but we're being held accountable to paying those bills.
Okay, so now with this law, what happens to me? I guess the idea behind it is kind of take me out of the equation and let those other guys fight it out?
Exactly. It's a very important consumer protection, one of the most important ones to save insured American lots of money. So about $40 billion every year is added to our healthcare costs because of these out-of-network bills. So from now on, starting on January 1st, if you receive care in any of these three situations, you will no longer receive an out-of-network bill. You'll be protected from it. These bills are banned. So the three areas where we won't see these bills anymore is anytime we receive emergency services. So even if we go to an in or out-of-network hospital, we won't be hit with an out-of-network bill. We'll just be paying what we normally would have paid if we were in-network, our co-pays, co-insurance, our deductibles. The other two areas that we're protected from out-of-network bills are in the situation of air transportation for emergency, like the air ambulances, the helicopters, and the airplanes. Those don't happen too frequently, but consumers have been paying tens of thousands of dollars in charges for those transportations by air. And then the third area is probably one of the most frustrating. That's when you've done everything right. You've picked your in-network hospital, you've picked your in-network doctor, but then somewhere along the way, while you're being treated in a hospital, you've gotten care from maybe an out-of-network anesthesiologist, or the x-ray that was taken was done by an out-of-network x-ray company in your own in-network hospital. So these charges are so frustrating because we're doing what we can to stay in-network, to save costs, but then we're getting hit with these outrageous bills. So they are banned as of January 1st.
Okay, now, the terminology, I suspect, is also important, right? Because I've had this situation, maybe you did too, where you go to a doctor's office and they say, oh, yes, the doctor takes your insurance. That's not the same, though, or a hospital says, yes, we take your insurance. That's not the same, though, as being in network, right?
Exactly. And so these are the surprise bills that we continue to see in your regular doctor's offices. So it's not the situation that's supposed to be covered under the No Surprises Act. So the No Surprises Act, think about those surprise billing protections in the case of kind of hospital care or outpatient hospital care or ambulatory surgery centers, you know, those out of, you know, not in a regular hospital setting. But for sure, consumers still have to be very careful when they go to their regular doctor's office for a regular checkup. Nowadays, we're being offered, oh, just get your blood drawn, you know, right here down the hall. But what we have to ask is, doctor, is that lab that you're using part of my insurance network? Because if it's not, you will be paying hundreds of dollars for your lab work that if you had gone in-network to your local in-network lab, you would have just paid a small copay.
Patricia Kelmar, Healthcare Campaigns Director at USPIRG. Thanks for talking to us. Short break, doing our best to snuff out any good cheer left over from the holidays by letting you know that everything is still more expensive.
If you didn't already notice inflationary prices smacking you across the face every time you stepped foot in a store in 2021, you'll definitely notice it in 2022.
Yeah, things are going to cost you more. Housing, gas, food, clothes, electricity, computers. How is this going to impact the economy?
William Luther is director of the American Institute of Economic Research's Sound Money Project. He's also an economics professor at Florida Atlantic University. Prices have climbed so high, so quickly. Will inflation ease, and will those prices fall just as quickly?
Well, unfortunately, it's not looking like it's going to be anytime soon. The members of the Federal Open Market Committee at the Federal Reserve are predicting that inflation will be above its 2% target all the way through 2024. So the rate of inflation is likely to come down, but it's not going to come down as quickly as perhaps we'd hoped.
But we hoped initially it was going to come down quickly, as I understood it then, because the feeling was that it was a short-lived event. People just had this pent-up money. They wanted to spend because they were going back out into the world. And even with the Omicron variant, people are still going about, for the most part, their business. So why isn't it going back to normal, in quotation marks?
Well, we really have two things going on. The first thing is what economists call real supply disturbances. We stopped producing for a good 2 months, and it turns out that if you're not cutting down trees for 2 months, then roughly a year later, the lumber is pretty expensive. Those kind of real supply disturbances, they eventually work themselves out, and they tend to do so pretty quickly. As that supply recovers, prices come back down. But we're also dealing with another factor, a nominal spending factor. You know, the government did a lot over the last 2 years to prop up incomes, to help businesses, to prevent those businesses from going bankrupt. They've provided assistance to households. And in the process, they've boosted nominal spending a lot, probably more than they expected to. And that money is out in the economy now. It's circulating. And as a consequence, it's driving up prices. So although those supply disturbances work themselves out pretty quickly, that nominal spending that's been boosted is likely to persist for some time until the monetary authority takes action.
Yeah. And what does the Fed plan to be doing over at least the short term as we head through this year?
Well, they have talked about raising rates a little sooner than expected. They're also going to see their balance sheet shrink. But the big thing that they've done so far is just communicate to the market that they recognize that inflation is high and that they're prepared to take steps to bring that back down. Again, I don't think that they're going to take those steps as quickly as many of us would like. So those prices are likely to remain elevated for quite a while. But at least so far, they've kept inflation from getting out of hand to the extent that it was in say the 1970s or something like that. We don't have a big concern that there will be double digit inflation over the next year. But we do have a pretty big concern that inflation will remain elevated over the next couple years.
Now, it's not all bad news, is it? I mean, if you owe money and you have to pay money back, you're paying it back with cheaper dollars, aren't you?
Well, that's right. So if you've borrowed and the inflation that we've experienced over the last year wasn't expected when you agreed to the interest rate in that loan, then you're paying back with dollars that are worth less than you expected they would be worth and worth less than the lender expected they would be worth as well. And so it is a boost for borrowers. That doesn't do much for the economy as a whole, of course, because for every borrower, there is a lender. And so one person gains at the expense of the other. It is beneficial for the government, of course. The government is a very big borrower. And so to some extent, we are wiping out some of the debt that the government has incurred. But again, that's not doing much for the economy as a whole. That's just a transfer.
William Luther, the Sound Money Project at the American Institute of Economic Research and Professor, Florida Atlantic University.
We end today's Coronavirus Daily with a quick trip inside your body. That's where researchers at Cedars-Sinai went to get a better idea of how our immune systems respond to coronavirus infections. They hope to find some better data about what is causing those scary long COVID symptoms. Turns out that the virus really does a number on your immune system. Cedars researchers found that even in people infected with COVID who had extremely mild cases or who were totally asymptomatic, immune systems were still hurriedly producing antibodies in excess, something a healthy body is not supposed to be doing. Now, one researcher described the phenomenon as COVID traumatizing immune systems on its way out of bodies.
This is an Odyssey original. You can find us and others at the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.